Acquittal. Written by Astrocryptographer. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, the Nine Worlds series by Victoria Goddard. Relationship, Artoran Damara, aka Fitzroy Engersell, and Cleofer Kip Mdong. Rating general audiences, no archive warning supply. Cleofer's apartments were exactly as he had left them. His Radiancy had not ordered them emptied, or his possessions destroyed. After everything, this was such a small thing that it was almost embarrassing how quick the tears sprang to his eyes. His familiar Magunaive rug, his few treasured artworks on the wall, even the half-written letters still folded on his desk. Cleofer could finish those letters now. He could send them, just as soon as the order restoring the postal service went into effect. He could write to his family and his friends, tell them about his travels, about how his lord was himself again. It was over. Cleofer had long been accustomed to the skepticism, the subtle hinting that he did not belong here. He could handle the rumors, the questions, being forced to deliver the same explanations over and over again. Yes, he was back. No, he was no longer under suspicion for any crimes. Of course, the proclamation was correct, and the theatrics of his supposed arrest had been a test of Zunith's emergency protocols. This was all manageable. There were other repercussions that were harder to face. Cleofer looked up from the paper he had been handed. "You're resigning." Kiri met his gaze intently. "After you left without a word to anyone, and His Radiancy issued a warrant for your arrest, I stepped into your role. Commander Omo did explain to me the situation, but regardless of what he said, I was the one to attend to His Radiancy and his opinions of you. It was not easy, but I stayed to ensure the smooth running of the government. And now, as His Radiancy wishes, I hand it back to you, Lord Mdong." She did not sound entirely pleased to do so. Kiri, Cleofer recalled, had been raised to think of His Radiancy as a god, and, during what may very well have been the most stressful months of her life, she had heard the full extent of his condemnation of Cleofer. "I see," he said quietly. He could understand why she might find it difficult to trust him now. She gave him a pained smile. "I'm glad you're back in His Radiancy's good graces, Lord Mdong. I really am. But I cannot go through that again." "Nor can I." Cleofer gave her a deep bow of thanks. "I've greatly appreciated your work, Zaya Kalakiri. If you ever change your mind, the service will always welcome you back." She returned the bow, perhaps 1 or 2 degrees of respect lower than his. "Treat Zunith well, Lord Mdong." Cleofer shared stories of his travels with His Radiancy, and His Radiancy shared in turn, in small, bitter pieces, his moon-turned perspective.
"I had plans to carve your name into the dais in the throne room," he admitted. "With all the other terrors of Astandalas, once I...
"My lord, the Red Company." His Radiancy went still, and Cleofer smiled ruefully.
"Well, I can imagine you know how much of an inspiration I find them."
There was a flicker of emotion in His Radiancy's eyes.
"If they had had you amongst their number, perhaps they would have been able to accomplish more than a few banned songs and folk tales."
They were beacons of hope across the five worlds during some of the Empire's worst days of expansion and conquest. Cleofer said, a little too sharply, and then flushed and cleared his throat.
"More importantly, like myself, they were not defeated by being conquered or executed, but by the fading necessity of their actions. You know that I am honored to stand beside you, my lord, and I would consider it an honor to be named alongside them."
His Radiancy's eyes were very bright.
"Would it not make your political aims more difficult?"
"Perhaps with some. It may serve as an advantage in other contexts." That new Nijani faction would likely find Cleofer being officially listed as a terror inspirational. The police service would not. The Council of Princes.
Cleofer realized that His Radiancy was watching him, a soft smile on his face, and pulled himself from his thoughts. "I apologize, my lord." "When you have analyzed the potential impact to your satisfaction, only let me know what you decide. I would be very pleased to accommodate your wishes, my dear Kip." It turned out the name Cleofer M'Dong did look very nice engraved above Fitzroy Angersell. The dead of night, the footsteps of a guard some distance away, too close. Cleofer shot awake, on his feet, one hand reaching for where his bag was always stowed, at the right of the bed, the other grasping at his neck. Efe Loco, yes, Efani missing. His free hand was closing on nothing but air. His bag was not where it ought to be. His heart hammering in his chest. Where was the door? The window? He had to run, said every instinct trained over months. Run and run and run and... In the dim starlight, sifting through the window, the shapes of the Lord of Zunith's apartments, his own apartments, his own bedroom, resolved themselves. The sound of footsteps faded into the distance, six walls and three locked doors away. For the fourth time this week, Cleofer unclenched his fingers from around his Efe Loco, sat down on the edge of his bed, and waited for his heart to start beating normally again. The ground flew up to meet Cleofer once again. The surface of the mat was yielding, but after the first dozen times being knocked to the ground, the impact was beginning to ache a little regardless. This time he had, at least, remembered to fall backward and not forward. Some 20 days ago, Cleofer had found Ludwig when he was off duty and said, "May I ask a favor?"
"What is it?"
"Could you teach me to use a sword?" Now, weeks of near-daily practice later, he was once again flat on his back. Neither of them had yet touched a sword. Cleofer practiced a basic set of drills. When he left an opening or moved too slowly, Ludwig would, so quickly Cleofer could hardly see the motion, tap him on the shoulder or chest or leg at just the right angle to send him toppling to the floor. Ludwig looked down at him, impassive, and Cleofer caught his breath enough to ask,
"What did I do wrong?" "Your footwork is too rhythmic. Your opponent can use that to predict exactly where you will be, and their blade will be waiting for you."
"Oh." Cleofer grimaced and rolled his shoulders to loosen the tension in them.
"Understood."
Ludwig held out his hand.
"You're doing well."
"Thank you." Cleofer took it, and Ludwig helped him to his feet.
"Again?" "Again."
Cleofer settled his sore body into the proper stance and started over from the beginning of the drill. It was easy to tell when Lukacs returned to the palace, because a mere few hours after he did, half of the western wing of the barracks was a flaming pile of rubble. Cleofer recognized the sound, even through several thick stone walls, and excused himself from his meeting with Ioru, to check whether anyone had been injured, and to say hello. Out across the space between the palace and the once strong western barracks, Rodin was conversing with the defensive Lukacs.
"Captain Imre," Rodin was saying in a very calm voice,
"it's not my fault. Someone must have moved around the things on my work table, because I know the Thaumic crystals were far enough from the quartain when I left."
"I'll vouch for him," Cleofer called across the yard as he approached. "If he wanted the barracks destroyed, there wouldn't be so much of them left." Lukacs spun to face him, a wide grin breaking across his face.
"Cleofer!"
"Good to see you again, Lukacs." He let Lukacs kiss his hand in the Southern Darren greeting, and pulled him into the Islander greeting in return. When Cleofer stepped back, Rodin had his arms crossed in mock skepticism.
"Am I to take the word of a recently exonerated criminal?"
"Some of the best people I know are recently exonerated criminals, including you."
"That's true," Rodin allowed.
"Did I hear Captain Imre?"
"Yes."
Lukacs saluted crisply.
"Sir Rodin promoted me."
"Lucky you," Rodin said.
The promotion comes with your very own solid stone workshop that is much more blast resistant than the barracks. Once Cleofer finds some room in the budget to support the construction of one. Cleofer could hear, under Rodin's affected insouciance, his pride in his newly promoted captain. He smiled. I'll see what I can do. In the mornings, Cleofer practiced his dances until he could not think. He found himself restless. The longest he had stayed in one place since leaving the palace was in the Indrigan estate, in Teltoka. And even that had been a tense 2 weeks, constantly looking over his shoulder. Now every night found him in the same bed. Every day took him down the same corridors. He wandered through the palace corridors, lost himself in Solara. There was a strange hollowness. Relief, yes, but a loss of sorts all the same, in his chest, where once there had been the exhilarating flame of fear. So he practiced his dances in the morning, and for a few short minutes the ache of his legs and the sweat down his back and the drumbeat in his mind drowned out the languor. Other times, when the restlessness became especially sharp, he gathered his courage and extended an invitation to his Radiancy. They walked together in the gardens, in the sunlight, and spoke of plants and poetry, and if they both looked for too long at the path leading out of the garden walls into the world, neither chose to mention it.
Obviously unrealistic, as though you are entirely disconnected from reality, Lord Modon.
Cleofer had waited patiently, and now that Prince Rufus was done with his rant, he gave him the politest of smiles. He was pleased to see how disconcerted he looked. Since his return, he'd more frequently had that effect on courtiers. Rodin attributed it to the scar across his cheek, but Khonshu said it was something subtler than that, a change in his bearing.
Prince Rufus, on my recent travels, I had the chance to speak directly with citizens of many walks of life. I saw for myself which parts of Zunith are thriving, and which need more support. It has been some months since then, of course, so perhaps I have become disconnected from reality in the interim. Please do tell me when you last walked across all of Zunith.
Prince Rufus gathered himself to bluster some response. Just before he could speak, Cleofer added, "Furthermore, Prince Rufus, it's pronounced Mdang."
It's different now, Cleofer. I don't know how you do it.
Rodin and Ludwig had settled back into life in the palace with the nonchalance they always displayed. Khonshu did not adapt quite so easily, as evidenced by how readily he accepted Cleofer's invitation to one of the rougher Solaran bars, and how many drinks he had consumed by the time Cleofer finished his first.
You saved my life, Khonshu. You cannot believe he sees you any differently now.
He does. Khonshu groaned into his drink. Cleofer frowned.
He certainly does not resent you. And if it seems he does, I should speak with him.
It isn't that.
What is it, then?
Khonshu tossed back the rest of the drink.
I know how to treat the Emperor. And his Radiancy used to be satisfied with that. Now he looks at me as though he expects me to treat him like anyone else. Now I can say anything, I can do anything. And I know he will not dismiss me, or order my execution. And I suppose I could go off and commit ritual suicide for dishonoring him, but I know he would be so disappointed, so instead...
He gestured theatrically with his empty glass.
I have no choice but to act as I would toward a friend.
Do you not want that?
No, I don't know. It's so much more difficult than simply performing the correct etiquette.
Cleofer thought of correcting the sun on Earth, and joking with him, and the heart-stopping overstep of walking into his private study, and he nodded slowly.
You know his Radiancy appreciates it.
Obviously. Khonshu sighed.
I hate it.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
There was a terrible day. The lights flickered. His radiancy collapsed.
Kip, he groaned from his bed, and then just as quickly, no, not...
Cleaver was already stepping forward. What was one more line to cross? His radiancy flinched back, but his hand was still outstretched as though despite himself. Cleaver crouched beside the bed, steadily met the lion eyes, hooden, golden, afraid, and took his radiancy's hand in both of his. His radiancy's hand was clammy, long fingers trembling. His touch felt like a handful of warm sand on the beach, the gaps between the coals of the Al-Teketetana, the first rays of the sun after a storm. Beautiful, familiar, just shy of burning.
I am here, my lord. Stay with me. I did not break the moon's curse to lose you now.
Kip, his radiancy breathed. And he stayed. It is the crescent moon 4 days from now.
Budu Tovo said.
You will dance the Al-Teketetana then, before your community here.
4 days. Cleofer's mind was running through the preparations, the possibilities. He wanted the court to know him for who he was, yes, more than almost anything. But it was not only the court he wanted, was it? His family, his friends from home, who had not known of his position here, whom he had left behind again and again, in the most ambiguous and difficult of ways. He wanted them to know him, too. Cleofer set his expectations.
That will not be enough time for a skyship from the Vangavieve, will it? Since word would need to be sent ahead of time.
His radiancy said, It is fortunate, then, that you happen to be friends with a great mage who can ensure fair weather and good winds.
My lord, are you certain?
I do believe some of them are still owed proper recompense for their false imprisonment, if nothing else. Send a note immediately, and I will see to it that your guests for the Vangavieve can attend.
Best get a big ship, grunted Budu Tovo. Everyone will want to come see our Kip.
Of course his radiancy was Fitzroy Angersell. Of course.
Cleofer had given Fitzroy Angersell a collection of his own songs. He had cited Fitzroy Angersell in a letter to his radiancy as rationale for his treason. Fitzroy Angersell had named Cleofer both Viceroy and Terror of Zunith, all the highest honors he could possibly bestow.
Oh, no. He had hummed Aurora in front of Fitzroy Angersell every day. He laughed until he could not breathe.
Cleofer was already struggling to put one thought next to another as he followed his radiancy, Fitzroy Angersell, down the stairs to the parlor of Basil's Inn. And this matter was not helped by seeing an unexpectedly familiar face.
And the next along is Maseo Umrit. His radiancy said.
Yes, Master Smith, Maseo Umrit said, with amusement shining bright in his eyes.
We have met before, I think.
Cleofer gave him the same bow he had given as they parted in Ossel.
A pleasure to meet you again.
You two have met.
Wait.
His radiancy grimaced reflexively and then laughed.
My lord and Dong. This is the smith you commissioned when the Moon Lady ensorcelled me.
The Moon Lady did what? Polly of Ramapool growled.
Oh, yes. Had I not mentioned that? She laid an enchantment upon me.
His radiancy, Fitzroy, gave a flash of a smile, though it was edged with pain. Cleofer pressed his knee against Fitzroy's beneath the table.
She twisted my emotions and manipulated my heart. I believe it was her way of attempting to win back my favor. If Kip had not broken the curse, I would have executed him, along with most of my household.
Pardon me a moment. Polly pushed her chair back from the table, ignoring its vicious screech against the floor, and stalked out of the inn. Cleofer looked at Fitzroy, puzzled, but he was staring after her just as confusedly.
The entrance of Sardit Avramopoul distracted them all from the question of where her sister had gone, and they proceeded with the meal. Polly strolled back in an hour later or so with a smug smile on her face, a much more relaxed bearing, and silvery blood dripping off her swords.
"Polly?" questioned His Radiancy.
"Killed the moon," Polly said, and dropped back into her seat. "Is there any of that ginger wine left?" The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. And if you've enjoyed the Podfic, you're welcome to leave me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.